Okay, Acts chapter 10. I think I just sort of watch me because I think my voice is giving out. So I'm going to need some more help. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us too. It's like, okay, there we go. There's an illustration right there. The soundboard helps my voice. That's just what the Holy Spirit does. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. Okay, let me ask you this question. We're going to talk about Pentecost. Where is Pentecost described? What chapter? What book? Acts what? Oh, somebody was there early. Acts 10 and chapter 2 of Acts. See, here's what happens. In the first chapter of Acts, the second chapter of Acts is the event that we normally call Pentecost. And Pentecost occurred 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at Pentecost, what happened was the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. Now, if you look at that text in Acts chapter 2, what you'll find is that all those who were gathered either lived in Jerusalem. Now, they were a lot of them from foreign nations, but they lived in Jerusalem. That's what the scripture says. They lived in Jerusalem or they were Jews. So what happens is, that in the second chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the Jews in Jerusalem in Acts 2. Okay? However, there's a second pouring forth of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. And that occurs in Acts chapter 10. And in fact, if you in Acts chapter 11, I think it's verse 15, Peter even says, as he's reporting to the church in Jerusalem, he describes the second pouring of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. He describes it and he says it was just like it was with us in Jerusalem. Okay? So they're two separate pourings forth of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you in here this morning are Gentiles? Raise your hand. Okay, every person's hand should be raised unless you were a Jew. Okay? So every single one of us, we are all Gentiles. Okay? And what a Gentile is someone other than a Jew. Okay? So if you read in the scriptures about the Gentiles, it's talking about people who are not Jews. All right? Now, here's what's significant. The Holy Spirit is poured out for you and me in Acts chapter 10 after he's been poured out for the Jews in Acts chapter 2. Because the gospel came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Now, is it possible that something that you have learned about God or something that you have learned about the Holy Spirit is keeping you from experiencing God as He really is? Is it possible? Let me ask it again. Is it possible that something that you have been taught about God, something that you've been taught about the Holy Spirit, could actually keep you from knowing God or the Holy Spirit as He really is? Because here's why I ask the question. Okay, do you think that the normal situation for the church in our day and time is the church at large? Would you think that the church at large, in the normal kind of way, the normal description, would you say that the church is a spirit-filled, vibrant place in the world today? You would say no. How come? Okay, is it possible Is it possible that there's something that we have learned about the Spirit of God that we have to unlearn in order for the Spirit of God to move in the time of the Gentiles? See, what happens in the 10th chapter of Acts, it is the beginning of the time in the Scriptures called the time of the Gentiles. Okay? The time of the Gentiles is when the Spirit of God is loosed for the Gentile church, for the people, for the Gentiles in order to know Jesus Christ. Okay, so my question to you this morning is, okay, is it possible that today somehow what has happened to us, and the reason why, for example, we have so many churches that are just not, they're just dead. You realize that the Christian church is the largest religion in the world. It's the largest religion in the world. So why is it, if the church is the largest religion in the world, why is it the world a more vibrant, spirit-filled place if the church, the Christian church, is the largest religion? Why isn't the Christian faith growing? Why isn't the Christian faith the one that is growing the most? Is it because, you see, is it possible that what's happened is we have learned something that is either not for the right for our time about the Holy Spirit, something that's not right about God, but somehow what has happened that has caused us to not be able to experience God's Spirit the way He intended us to experience. Let me show you. Here's what happens in Acts 10. When the Holy Spirit is poured out to the Gentile church. It starts in this way. A man by the name of Cornelius is a Gentile. Okay? He's a Roman soldier and he lives in a place called Caesarea, which is on the Mediterranean coast. Alright? Cornelius is a God-fearing man. Alright? He's not a Jewish man. He's a God-fearing Gentile man. And what he does, look how the scripture defines him. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 of Acts chapter 10 says, "And he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. And he gave many alms to the Jewish people and he prayed to God continually. And about the ninth hour of the day, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon," okay, Cornelius is in prayer. He's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That ought to tell us something about this man. He's praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Somebody's got to really know God to be praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon from my perspective, okay? Well, this is a man who knows God but has yet to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. So it says the third verse, "About the ninth hour of the day, 3 o'clock, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come into him, and he said to him, Cornelius." It's like he says it in a way that startles Cornelius. Verse 4, "And fixing his gaze upon him and being very much alarmed, Cornelius said, 'What is it, Lord?' And he said, 'Your prayers and alms have ascended as memorial before God.'" You know, I just got to say one comment about that verse. As I studied this week, I could not get past it without thinking about it. Because you ever been at a point in your life where something caused you to stop praying, or something caused you to stop giving to God? Given to the, you realize what this text says about Cornelius. It says Cornelius has a visit from the angel, and the way he describes it is, he says, "Cornelius, your prayers and your gifts have ascended to God as a memorial to God." You know, see, here's what we have an understanding. We have an understanding of the church. In the church, I think we have an understanding that I give to the things I like. I give to the things I support. I can remember being in a church in North Carolina 20 years ago. Maybe it was longer than that. And they didn't like the pastor. So what do you think they did? What do you think a group of them did? Stop giving. You know what? Don't ever do that. It ain't got nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. He says, this angel, I wonder why he chose Cornelius. Wonder, out of all the Gentiles that God could have chosen to have this angelic visit, why did he choose Cornelius? You ever saw your gifts? You ever saw your prayers as a memorial to God? You know, in other words, what a memorial is? You make a memorial gift to something. If I were to give a gift in memory, for example, you know, our building campaign, that we got people who've made gifts in memorial, in memory of someone. Why do they do that? Why do they make a gift in memory of someone? They make a gift in memory of someone because they're important to them. You know, someone that's important, what you do is you might make a gift in memory of that person because they're important. This text, you know what it's saying about Cornelius? Why is it that this angel appears to Cornelius? What the scripture says is, well, here's the reason, Cornelius, because your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial to God. What he's saying is that when Cornelius gave these gifts, what God saw it as, it was an indication that God was important to Cornelius. He's not given to it because he likes a project. He's not given because they're building a new building. He's not given it because he likes the Christmas pageant. You know, he's given it because he sees it as a means whereby he evidences the importance of God. You know, it's not what I'm here to talk about today, but I'll just tell you something. You know what? If you got tight finances and you just stop giving, what do you think that says to God? You know, it's like if I want to, if you ever heard that phrase, we need to pay it forward. You know what that means? To pay it forward. That means if someone does a good to me, what I need to do is do a good to somebody else, and I pay it forward. In other words, I pay it forward, and what happens is a blessing that I receive goes to someone else because I pay it forward. You ever saw your gifts and your prayers as a way for you to pay it forward? It's not about what's going on right here in the here and now, but it's about eternity and my gifts, my prayers. You know what? You know one of my most favorite gatherings in this church? It's Wednesday night at 6:15 when about a group of 8 or 10 of us gather for prayer. And we intercede for this church. Oh, by the way, you're invited. You're invited. You are invited. Why is that important? What he said? Prayers and my gifts, they ascend as a memorial to God. I'm paying it forward. Does that make sense? Okay, that's really not what we're talking about, but let's keep going. Okay, all right. Now, what happens is, Cornelius has a vision. And in the vision, what Cornelius is told to do is this. He says, the angel says, Cornelius, send 3 men to Joppa. 3 men to Joppa, and when you get to Joppa, I want you to look for a man by the name of Simon. He's staying with a tanner. And so that's what happens. The 3 men leave. Cornelius sends his soldiers out, and they leave, and they go to Joppa. Well, it takes them a day to get there. Well, what happens is, the next day, it's now 12 o'clock noon. Can you remember where we started? I said, is it possible that something that you believe about the Holy Spirit and or God keeps you from knowing something about the Holy Spirit of God that might cause you to advance the kingdom of God or to be used by God in your life? In other words, do we need to unlearn some things about the Holy Spirit? Well, notice, here's what needs to happen. When Cornelius sends these men from Caesarea, Simon Peter, now, who's a Jew, he's in Joppa. And about noon, what happens is Simon Peter goes to pray. And Simon Peter has a vision. And what happens is, there's a vision, he has a dream, has this vision, and what happens is, there's a sheet that comes down from heaven. And on that sheet are all kinds of unclean animals. All right, someone tell me an unclean animal to a Jewish person. A pig. Do you know why a pig was considered unclean? Nope. Ain't got nothing to do with mud. Unclean has the meaning of spiritually unclean. Okay? But he is muddy. You're right. He's dirty. That's a good way to remember it. He's considered unclean by the Jewish people for one of two reasons. Leviticus chapter 11 says an unclean animal is an animal a clean animal is one who chews his cud and has a split hoof. Which one does a pig fail on? He doesn't chew his cud. A pig has split hooves. Okay? But what about a cow? This is really, you know, it almost seems ridiculous. What about a cow? Is a cow unclean or clean? Why? He chews his cud and he's got split hooves. Well, what in the world's God doing? I mean, you realize that the 11th chapter of Leviticus gives a whole list of unclean animals, and for example, a lion. Is a lion clean or unclean? Unclean. Why? Doesn't chew his cud. What in the world is God doing? Okay, here's what God's doing. And see, all these animals are coming down on the sheet. And it's all these unclean animals. There's a camel probably on that sheet because he's unclean. Can't eat camels. Can't eat pigs. You touch them. If you touch them, you're rendered unclean. Okay? So Peter is seeing this vision, and there's on the sheets all these unclean animals. And here's what the voice says. It says, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter has been taught since he was a child not to eat pigs. And now we got a sheet coming down from heaven and a voice from heaven saying, "Peter, arise, kill, and eat." And Peter can't do it. He can't do it. You say, okay, let me get back. Why is it that God said that a pig was unclean? I'll tell you, the 47th verse of the 11th chapter of Leviticus says this. Here's the reason. He said, number one is I want the people of Israel to be distinguished from all those other human beings on the face of the earth. I want there to be something that is different about their lives that distinguishes them from someone else. And in the process of them being distinguished from other peoples, what will happen is I will be distinguished among them because I am their God and I have a relationship with the people of Israel. You know, somebody put something on my desk this morning that talked about, churches, denominations within America that are no longer supporting Israel. Don't do that. You know, don't do that. Because you realize that the scripture, the Old Testament says that the nation that blesses Israel will be blessed and the nation that curses Israel will be cursed. Why is that? You know what? Man, I'm really sort of chasing a rabbit now. Why is that? You know, they're God's chosen people. And even though they're outside of God in Christ, God still says they are the blessed people. They are His blessed people. The eating of the clean and the unclean, you know when that stopped? It stopped when the temple was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. Why did they stop recognizing those laws then? Because the ritual system, the sacrificial system was stopped in AD 70 because there's no temple. Okay, back to what I was saying. Why did God do it? Number one, to distinguish the people of Israel. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything in your life that distinguishes you from someone else who's not in Christ? Is there, let me ask it this way. Okay, let me. If half the church of Jesus Christ is spiritually dead, why is that? And I'm not basing that statistic on some study that I'm reading. I'm asking you to decide yourself. How do you see it? How do you see it? Okay? Now, let me put it another way. Let me ask you, let's suppose, God forbid, you decided to leave this church. My question is, would we know you were gone? What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. See, in the church, we have the idea that you come to a church because you like the music, or you like the preaching, or you like the children's program. That's all backwards. We have taught you that. We, the clergy, we have taught you. Check the bells and whistles before you join a church. Okay. Check. In other words, don't misunderstand me, okay? You know, don't misunderstand me. I would not join a church that I'm not comfortable in because they're not teaching the Word of God or something. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. Think about the Holy Spirit. Okay, you go with me now. I promise you, if you'll go with me, you will be glad. You will be glad. But you ain't got to. You can check out. You know, you can check out. You know, it's like my, you know, when in my psychology class in college, that's the only course I made a D. No, I made a D on in psychology. I made a D in typing in college. Okay. You know what? I hated psychology. I thought it was just gobbledygook and, you know, and I just hated it. And so I went into that class and all I could care about was it was going to be over. I checked out. Don't check out. Don't check out. Because see, if you want to check out, it's the evidence you need to check in. My question, if you were not in this church, would we miss you? I'm not saying that we would miss you in the sense that we didn't care about you. I'm saying, would we miss how you advance the kingdom of God? You see the difference? See? I'm not saying, would we miss you because you're not important. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying to you this morning, the problem, you know, the problem with the Church of Jesus Christ today? 3/4 of the people in the pews would not be missed if they weren't there. The kingdom of God is not advanced by their presence. Am I stating that clearly? Now, so why is that so? Because we've taught you, I'm condemning myself. No, here's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to bring us truth. He's going to bring us the truth, not for the purpose of making you feel guilty, not for the purpose of making me feel bad because I'm making you feel guilty, which is the way it works personally. That's not the point. But what the Holy Spirit does, here's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings you truth so you can adjust to it. So my point again, my question is, see, remember in the opening chapter of Acts, we looked at this. What did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, don't go anywhere. Don't do a thing until the Holy Spirit comes. Don't do one thing until the Holy Spirit comes. Why did he tell them that? He told them that because the Holy Spirit was the power of God. Now think about it this way. The scripture also says that the Holy Spirit is sent by God to you and me, and you and I are the instruments of the Holy Spirit. And so if you and I are not filled with the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God's not going to advance. So why is the church half dead? Because God's people no longer think that they are supposed to be filled by the Holy Spirit to advance the kingdom of God. They're supposed to be in the pews because they like the music. And I'm telling you, that's a lie straight from the bowels of hell. Now, don't misunderstand me again. Don't misunderstand me. You know, I tell you what my son said. He said, Dad, I went to that church today and it's like they're playing funeral music. You know, I got me. I'm not trying to make this about the music. It's just very easy for you to understand when I use it as an example. Okay? Now, come back to, is it possible that there's something you need to unlearn about the Holy Spirit and about your role in the body of Christ? See, is it possible we need to unlearn what we think our role is in the body of Christ? Because if we need to unlearn it, the Holy Spirit is here to help you with that. Simon Peter's problem? Here's his problem. The Gentiles are unclean. He's not supposed to associate with them. He's not supposed to have anything to do with them. So what does God do? He sends Simon Peter. He gives Simon Peter a dream. 3 times a sheet comes down. It's got all these unclean animals. And then God says, arise, kill, and eat. Let me ask you a question. What's on your sheet? What is it that's coming down from heaven and God saying, you know what? You're not being a part of advancing the kingdom of God. Now, if you think I'm here to make you feel guilty so get more people in the Christmas party, we already got him filled. And so it's got nothing to do with that. What am I doing? I'm trying to help you to see that your role is to be filled with the Spirit to advance the kingdom of God. It's not for you to come and sit in a pew and hear a good sermon or hear a bunch of good music. There's an empowerment that you're missing. Okay, here we go. We're going to be finished in just about 10 minutes. So you hang with me. That'll be a good 10 minutes. It always picks up as we go through. So just stay with me. Okay? So here we go. So what happens is, at the close of the vision, look over at verse 17. Okay, Peter's got that message three times. Three times he's got the message, and Peter still does not get it. Okay? Just like us. You know what? I can tell, how many times have you and I talked about being in church and all those kinds of things and about soccer on Sunday and all? You know what? Why is it? We don't quite get it. It takes us more than once. Peter's the same way. He doesn't get it. So look at what he says in verse 17. Okay. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, in other words, as you are greatly perplexed as to what Pastor Kipp is trying to say, okay, same thing. Greatly perplexed as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was reflecting on the vision, look at this. The Spirit said to him, here's what you find in the book of Acts. The Spirit starts talking in first person. Five times the Scriptures uses the Spirit talking in first person. Here's what that means. The Spirit has the personal responsibility. You with me? You need to stand up a minute? Anybody need to take a stand-up break? Okay. This is really good right here. Okay. The Spirit has a personal responsibility to advance the kingdom of God. That is what God has done. He has given the Holy Spirit the personal responsibility to advance the kingdom of God. We looked in prior weeks, we've said the three ways the Holy Spirit does that. Number one, He bears witness of Jesus Christ. Number two, He glorifies Jesus Christ. And number three, He's the Spirit of truth, and He convicts you and I of sin, so that we can adjust to it, okay? So now the Spirit is being used by God to personally direct the mission of the church. What does that mean to you? If you have a low view of the Holy Spirit, if you do not see the Spirit as indwelling you, if you do not see the Spirit as empowering you, you know what that means? It means that you will be limited in advancing the kingdom of God. So why half our church is dead? I tell you, part of the reason I think is that half of us, we don't understand who the Holy Spirit is, and we don't want to know because we're afraid of Him. Now, you look five times in the book of Acts. The Spirit said this, the Spirit said this, the Spirit said this. What's the Spirit saying to you today? All right, look at what he says. It says, verse 19, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. But arise, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings. Why did the Spirit say accompany them without misgivings? Because they're Gentiles. If Peter touches one of them, he's rendered unclean. He just witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's had the infilling of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And now you want him to go with a bunch of Gentiles? Talk about out of the box thinking. Okay, hang with me now. Hang with me. So okay, this is good. Oh, verse 20, but arise, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. You see that? You see the personal responsibility of the Spirit? The Spirit is personally directing the movement and advancing of the kingdom of God. So we need to have a new understanding of the Spirit, because He is the earthly representative of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus says, He will bear witness of me in John 15:26. Says he will bring glory to me. Why does He bring glory to me? Because He takes of mine and gives to you. The role of the Spirit is not to glorify Himself, but to glorify the Son. So that's what He's getting ready to do. He's advancing the kingdom. You advance the kingdom of God in the life and the heart and the church. What do? You glorify the Son. Okay, look at this. 21. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? Okay? Remember that. Okay? Because, see, here's what we do. Oh, goodness gracious. Okay, let me see what I'm going to do here. See, here's what else we say. Okay, remember now. Remember. The Spirit has the direct responsibility to advance the kingdom of God on earth. Okay? He's the another parakletos. Secondly, remember, the Spirit indwells all people who believe in Jesus. That's what John 14 says. It says the Spirit indwells all those who believe in Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus, the Spirit is inside of you. Why is He there? If His divine assignment is to advance the kingdom of God, shouldn't that mean, or wouldn't that mean, that would be your responsibility? We say, well, Pastor Kip, I don't know how to do that. I don't know the words to use. I don't know enough about the Bible. Did you see what that verse said a minute ago? Peter says, the people come from Cornelius, and he says, hey, why are you guys here? Peter doesn't understand yet. Peter doesn't know what he's supposed to say. Look at what happens next, okay? Look at verse 28. And Peter said to them, what's happening? He's now at Cornelius' house. Okay? He's at Cornelius' house. He's gone with the three men, and now he's standing with Cornelius. In verse 28, he says, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him, and yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. How has Peter come to this place where he sees that now he's not supposed to call a man unclean? What's happened is Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God sent him this vision, and all of a sudden these three men appear. Cornelius tells him why he was sent for, and Simon Peter comes to a place where he either has to decide whether he's going to resist the Holy Spirit's impression or not. My question to you this morning is this: is the Holy Spirit impressing you with the truth of these words? Is He impressing you with the truth of these words that, number one, He has personal responsibility. Number two, He indwells you. Number three, apart from you and I obeying the Spirit, bearing witness, glorifying Christ, and speaking truth of Christ, the kingdom of God is not advanced. Not going to happen. So why is the church dead? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we taught you that's our role. Yeah, we taught you that. So in order for the kingdom to be advanced, you got to do exactly what Simon Peter did. Wait a minute. I think that's right. I see now. See, he's adjusting to the Spirit. He still doesn't know what he's supposed to say. Because what Cornelius has done, here's what Cornelius does. This is good. This part's good. Every single person in this room, you have influence of some type or another on people around you. Okay? Let's take 5 seconds, stand up. 5 seconds, stand up. 5 seconds. 5 seconds. You've been really good, really good, but I know I'm going just a little too long. There's no Ravens game, so I've got to, so just hang with me a second more. It's good, I promise. It's promise, I promise. Okay, you sit back down. See, every single one of you has influence. If you're a youth, you have influence. If you're a child, you have influence. You're a parent, or if you're a husband, you have influence. If you're a coworker, you have influence. Okay? You're a student, you have influence. See, some of us have more influence on others than others do. Okay? Some people have more influence. What I'm saying is that every single person has some type of influence on some one or more people in their lives. The question is, how do you use your influence? Look at how Cornelius does. Look at verse 24. See? Think about it again, okay? The Spirit has a personal responsibility to advance the kingdom. Part 2, point 2, you're indwelt by the Spirit. Point 3, the Spirit only advances His kingdom through an instrument. You're His instrument. So how do you influence the kingdom of God? Look at what Cornelius does in verse 24. And on the following day, he entered Caesarea, that would be Simon. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. What do you do? Cornelius didn't have a word to say. What is it? He calls them. He says, hey, you know, I got somebody I want you to hear. I got somebody, someone's got something important to say. Every single one of you have influence. You can say, whether it's to your coworker, whether it's your student, whether, you know, you have influence. Okay, you have influence on people around you. What does it mean to be a member of the kingdom of God? What does it mean to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit? It means that we have to understand we are people of influence that God has placed in certain places for the purpose of advancing His kingdom. Do you see the picture of Joseph in the Howard County Times this past week? Joseph Murray's picture was in the Howard County Times. Well, I'm not trying to elevate a Joseph. I'm just trying to say this. He has influence. You have influence. We have our groups. We have people we know. We have people we care about. What, you have influence. How are you using that influence? You know what Cornelius does? He calls his friends and his relatives together. What for the purpose of? So they can hear Simon Peter. Hey, you know what? That has influence. That sign just has influence. What we've done in here has influence. You know, we had workers in the church this past week. You know what I did? I brought them into the sanctuary. I said, hey, look at what's going on here. I said, whoa, man, what are you guys doing? What am I doing? I'm trying to use my influence. How are you using your influence? Are you using your influence for the kingdom of God? Or are you using it for the kingdom of Satan? Because see, when you're silent, you use it for the kingdom of Satan. You may not know that, you may not realize that, but that's what you're doing. My role is, as the instrument of the Holy Spirit, is I'm supposed to point it out. Not so you feel bad. No. So we can adjust to the truth. See? Cornelius, that's what he does. And Simon Peter, bless his heart, Simon Peter, Look at what happens here now on verse 33. Okay? This is where we finish. Cornelius tells Simon Peter about his vision. Verse 33, Cornelius says, and so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, I got to go back. Look at verse 29. Well, here's what Simon Peter says. First he says, you know what, I understand now that it's okay for me to be with you Gentiles. I'm not supposed to see you as unclean. Look at verse 29. It says, that is why I came without even raising any objection for when I was sent for. And so I asked for what reason you have sent for me. Twice he's asked the same thing. Why have you sent for me? You know what? I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to give us sermons before we preached them. I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to give you a message before you had to say it. You know, I thought, you know, you had to know how to witness before you could ever share your faith. Simon Peter has no idea what he's supposed to say. He has no idea. He's asked them twice, why have you asked me here? I don't understand why I'm here. He doesn't have a clue. Just like you and me. We don't have to have a clue. What has to happen is you have to come to a place in your mind where you see that it is to be our intention to bear witness to Jesus. We bear witness to Jesus, and I'm not talking about giving a foreplanned point of salvation. Bear witness to Jesus, bring glory to Jesus, and bring the truth to darkness. Here's what Simon says. Look at this. It's so good. 34. This is where we close. It says, go to 33. Cornelius says, and so I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. And Simon Peter right now is thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Because the Lord ain't told me nothing to say. So what does he do? Verse 34. And opening his mouth. I thought everybody had to open their mouth to talk. And opening his mouth. You know what he's saying? Don't worry about what you gotta say. Just start talking about Jesus. Just start talking about Jesus.
Start talking about the play. Start talking about the children. Start talking about Jesus. Open your mouth. I'm standing up here and I'm thinking, I'm behind this table and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to say? What do you want me to tell the people? Lord, can you give me a little something here? Lord, I got to have something to go on. And he said, open your mouth. Open your mouth. Why? Because we're only instruments. It's not what you know. It's who you know. Just open your mouth. You know what Simon Peter ends up doing? He just starts talking about Jesus. He said Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was resurrected. Then he says, whoever believes in his name receives forgiveness of his sin. You want to know the what? Just there you go. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and we receive forgiveness through his name. Boom, that's it. Hey, you know what? That's all the story. There ain't no illustrations. He doesn't tell him any illustrations, didn't have any parables. He doesn't tell him nothing. He just says, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose, and you receive forgiveness through his name. Boom, that's it. And you know what happens next? Look at this. It's so amazing. Oh, but wait, see. One thing we can't miss it. See, remember, you can resist the Spirit. See, you can resist what the Scripture says. Verse 44. I love this part. While Peter was still speaking. Ain't no invitation. You know, there's no music going on. Peter's just talking. He's just talking about the Lord. That's all he's talking. You know, while Peter was still speaking, and you know that the Scripture never says that Peter was filled with the Spirit. It never says that. There are other passages where Peter is filled with the Spirit, and then something happens spiritually. The passage never says Peter is filled with the Spirit. He is still in a place. He doesn't know what to say. He just starts talking. And what happens is, the Scripture says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell. He fell. You know, he fell. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were gathered and listening. Oh, you mean, preacher, if I come to church on a Sunday and I just think I want to fill out my grocery list, you mean I'll miss a blessing? You mean, preacher, if I stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning and I come to church and all I can do is just barely stay awake, you mean I'll miss a blessing? The Scripture says the Holy Spirit fell. You know, it's like if I were to fall on Calvin. Ain't nothing Calvin doing but just sitting there. It's all the Holy Spirit. He falls on him. That's what the text is saying. The Holy Spirit takes the initiative because he has personal responsibility to advance the kingdom of God. And you got two instruments. You got Cornelius and you got Simon Peter. And what are they doing? They're just being instruments. That's all they're doing. They're being instruments. That's all we do. And so what happens? He falls and all these people come to know Jesus as their Savior. Come to know Jesus. Why have they come to know Jesus? Because they're listening. They're listening. The Spirit falls. And you know what? I bet you one thing. When Peter saw the Spirit fall, I bet you he was filled up with the Spirit then, because that's the way it works. See, when you're an instrument, you may not feel like it at all, but you open your mouth and the Spirit falls. The Spirit blesses someone else and you get blessed in the process. And I'll give you one more illustration. I know I'm too long. I'm so sorry, but just give me a break. Stand up. Did you get blessed when she sang?
Did you get blessed when you sang? You know, what am I saying? She was an instrument. The Holy Spirit sang through her, and you were blessed. Wow, isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit fell, and what happens is the instrument through whom the Holy Spirit falls is blessed. I finished preaching the 9 o'clock sermon. And I had one of our church members leaving, and she said, and I guess she could tell I was a little tired, and she said, oh, you've already preached this, that sermon once, you got to preach it again. Like, oh, golly, how are you going to do that? And I said, oh, praise the Lord. She said, what? She looked at me like, I said, oh, don't you understand? I said, if I can't wait to preach that sermon, everything I've told you has been a lie. What am I saying? You know what? Oh, come on, guys. Come on. You know what? You know what? God is filling us. He's filling us. Don't resist the Spirit. Don't resist the Spirit. We got to come with the Spirit. We got to fuel the Spirit. You know what? When it comes to the Spirit of God, you can quench Him. You can just be maintained and stay just like you are. He'll let you stay just like you are, or He will be fueled within you. It's up to us. It's up to us to open to the Spirit of God. You got the point. You got it. Let's pray. Oh God, magnify your precious Son. Magnify Him. Make Him bigger. Make Him more holy. Make Him greater. Exalt Him up, God. Lift Him up. Lift Him so high, O Father, that yea, if we don't praise Him, the rocks will, the stones will, the chairs will start singing for Jesus. Yea. Oh, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fall on the one who has heard. Bring about repentance, confession of sin, that we might, oh God, be set free from our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.